Hello, and welcome to Wiki Politiki, a show designed to bring right and left front and center, to turn the funk into function, and leave the junk at the junction. At a time when so much political discourse is heat without light, Wiki Politiki shines the light of love and truth on the darkened corridors of power, and then brings leading solutionaries into conversation to light the way forward together. Your host is Steve Behrman, author, comedian, and political and spiritual uncommentator. You might know Steve as his cosmic comic alter ego, Swami Beyond Ananda, or as the author of a more serious book with cellular biologist Bruce Lipton, Spontaneous Evolution. If you recognize that crisis precipitates evolution, and judging by the current crises, the chances of precipitation are 100%, this show is for you. Welcome to the Evolutionary Uprising. Now, here is your host, Steve Behrman.
Well, hello and welcome to Wiki Politiki, Conversations for Co-Creation, where we shed light on the darkened corridors of power, and we shine a light ahead of us to the path where evolution is leading. The purpose of Wiki Politiki is to bring left and right front and center, to face the music and dance together, to address problems instead of defending positions. We have another purpose too, and that is to provide a context at a time when the content can be contradictory, confusing, and overwhelming. Our friends and cosmic comic cohorts, the Fire Sign Theater, said it best 45 years ago, "Everything you know is wrong." That was the title of their satirical comedy album, right? In 1974. And now that statement is truer than ever. And here's the paradox. These days, those who imagine themselves the best informed, because they read the New York Times and listen to National Public Radio, may actually be less informed in some ways than those perceived yahoos wearing the MAGA hats. And speaking of MAGA hats and populist uprisings, you've no doubt heard of the Yellow Vest movement in France that has been presented as one of those dangerous right-wing, populist, anti-immigrant, anti-progress movements. And yet, maybe everything you know about that is wrong. Our guest today, my friend Richard Greenman, is an American expat living in France. He has a lifetime of experience, and I quote him, as a Marxist humanist, libertarian socialist, and anarchist revolutionary. He calls himself a red diaper grandbaby because his maternal grandfather was an admirer and follower of the socialist presidential candidate 100-something years ago, Eugene V. Debs. And when I labeled, when he was labeled a communist as a kid by a classmate, he replied, "I'm a communist. I am for the common people." And obviously, that hasn't changed. He is a graduate of Yale University, and he was one of the founders of Students for a Democratic Society, and taught French in this country at the various universities. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, he traveled to Russia, where he deepened his studies of Victor Serge, a Marxist anarchist internationalist novelist. We'll hear more about him. And then in 1997, he has helped establish the Victor Serge Public Library in Moscow, and in 1998, co-founded the Praxis Research and Education Center in Moscow. Long story short, he brings a lifetime of awareness and perspective to this vexing movement, the Yellow Vest Uprising in France, and the vested interest, pun intended, that are looking to disinform and misinform us on that topic. Welcome, Richard.
Well, thank you, Steve. That was quite an introduction, somewhat intimidating. Just to make it very clear, I'm not a communist. I've never been a communist. I went to college with the Fire Sign Theater and Peter Bergman, and my first political awakening came when Khrushchev put down the Hungarian Revolution of 1956, in which Soviet communism, which turned out to be a form of totalitarian state capitalism, crushed a movement very similar to the one today, that is to say, a spontaneous movement of working people opposing a government that was exploiting them and humiliating them and depriving them of their voices. And that is how I would characterize, well, that's how the Yellow Vests in France characterize themselves. I would just like to sketch how it began. It began last November when the president of France, who is a neoliberal, strict, market-oriented, and very arrogant president, put a tax on diesel fuel after the French government had been telling people to buy diesel cars and diesel fuels because it was supposedly more ecological. And then he put this tax on and said, well, you people with diesel cars, you have to pay a tax to help ecology. And this absolutely blew people's minds. It started out not on the part of France and Paris, where there are students and radicals and a big concentration of industry. It started out in the small towns all around the country, and the initiators were the most ordinary of ordinary people, often people who didn't really ever go to vote, and who had small businesses or who worked in offices or were farmers, and they had just had it up to their necks. And so they went out and started to block intersections, or actually not intersections, but what do you call them? Roundabouts, they call them in English. Traffic circles. Yeah. Okay. And the reason that they wore yellow vests is that the law here is that you must have a yellow emergency vest that reflects in case in your car at all times. In case you break down or, you know, so that you can be seen on the road. So they put these on, and it just took off like an idea virus. And all over France, people started imitating them and honking their horns and so on. They also swarmed around the toll booths and let people go free. So this became overnight a popular movement, and a week after it started, they called for a demonstration in Paris, and like 180,000 people showed up. It was absolutely amazing, and it came out of nowhere, and it absolutely baffled everybody. Now, it's what it is that the Internet is now available, and Facebook is now available, and although both the Internet and Facebook have definitely their very, very dark sides, they're places where, for the first time, people who live spread out all over the country and who don't necessarily know each other can contact each other, spread the word for what they want to do, and then get out and meet each other in person. So people that had lived in a village for years and didn't really know each other suddenly found themselves around these traffic circles, and being French, they immediately set up barbecues and brought out a little beer and wine, and they created community in places where there is no community. You know, the transformation of our society from one where we had villages and people gathered and so on, all the solidarity that we had when I was growing up a long time ago has disappeared, and everything has been paved over for parking lots, as that wonderful song says. But they re-inhabited these places, oh yes, parking lots too, of supermarkets, and they got to know each other, and they got to discuss what they were doing and what they wanted. And it turned out that it was an unfair tax for them. Plus, it was a burden because the inequality has gathered in France more and more, so that there's very high unemployment, and the gap between rich and poor is just as bad as it is in the United States. What's different is that France has a good social security system. It's got Medicaid for all. It's got all kinds of support for unemployed and poor people and so on, which were won in struggles years ago, and which this new government of Macron is trying to take away. So all of these things came together, and the demands of the Yellow Vests began increasing in terms of demanding more equality and the preservation of their social safety nets, and generally a protest against high prices and low salaries, which is the way that almost every revolution begins. Now, what was the reaction of the government? Well, they first ignored them and pretended it didn't, that it wasn't happening. And when they finally realized they had to say something, they began putting down these people as violent and putting down these people as right-wing and fascistic and racist and all kinds of bad things. Well, that was pure slander, and it's simply not true. I'll read to you what I've got right here in front of me, which was came out this weekend. For the first time, the Yellow Vest groups, who are in villages all over France, elected representatives, one man and one woman, sometimes chosen by lot or voted on by the assembly, and they came together to discuss and compare notes and then issue a kind of a program. And so here's what it says. How has the government responded? With repression, contempt, denigration. Many dead and thousands wounded. Massive use of government firearms that mutilate, blind, injure, and traumatized. I'll go back to that in a minute. What it says in the next paragraph is, after having insulted us and treated us as less than nothing, now the president points to us as hateful, fascistic, and a xenophobic mob. But we are quite the opposite, neither racist, nor sexist, nor homophobic. We are proud to come together with our differences to build a society of solidarity. So you see that this is really a case of black, white is being called black, or that's a ridiculous comparison. But what I'm saying is, the government and the press, the media, are calling these people exactly what they're not,
and it's very convenient for them to do so.
Absolutely enraged them. I'm sorry.
It's very convenient for them to do that, because if they can convince, if they can create more separation with those who might be sympathetic to them, who are living in Paris or living in the cities, then they can project it as a right-wing movement, when, as you say, that's not exactly true. In fact, it's hardly true.
It's hardly true at all, as you can see by this statement. Now, the first thing that you have to know about this group is that it decided from the very beginning that it would not work with political parties or existing labor unions, that they would discuss everything in themselves. They would not have any spokespeople who would be leaders and take over the thing. It is the most democratic movement I've ever seen. In fact, it harks back to the original democracy of Athens in 500 BC, where every person spoke for himself. And but now it's not himself, it's himself and herself. And one of the most promising parts of the movement, which is visible in all the photographs, is that it's pretty much evenly divided between men and women. And they have this rule that if they do delegate somebody to speak, it's got to be a man and a woman together. So
what about age differences? What about, is it mostly young people, old people? What about that diversity?
Well, the ones that I've seen out here, well, I may be, but they're, everybody's young for me. But I would say the average age is 40. They're mostly people with kids.
Yeah.
Kids to support. Often single moms who are trying to raise a family and work, and they've just been pushed to the edge of poverty, although they're perfectly normal, hardworking people. In fact, one of the insults 2 weeks ago is that the president got on and said, "Oh, the French people, they've forgotten how to work. They're lazy." And I mean, these are the kinds of, when you work your butt off, you know, to try and keep a family together, and you now are never able to go out to a restaurant or do the things that people were used to doing, you know, 10 years ago, it absolutely enrages them that he makes these kinds of remarks. Now, as far as the social composition is concerned, I just saw they're beginning to do, of course, sociological studies. And this group turns out to be the exact profile of the average French person. That is to say that there's about 20% of workers, physical workers, and 30 or 40% of office workers and a good number of farmers, and it just balances out to exactly what you would expect if you mix together Paris and the rest of France. They're the cross section. Now, among them, there are people that have voted for the National Front, which is the political party of Le Pen, who is definitely a racist and an anti-Semite and anti-Arab and as right-wing as you can be without being kicked out of the political arena. And he's in touch with, or she is, his daughter now that runs the party, with all the other new so-called populist right-wing leaders in Europe. But parties are excluded. And every time members of this party have tried to butt in, either in demonstrations or in discussions, they're kicked out. And in the beginning, the number of people from the right were, again, very much a cross-section of France, which is 5 or 10%. But very quickly, this changed because the movement for equality, which is the basic demand, and they don't support that. They're definitely a pro-business party, and so they don't really fit.
This is very interesting. Good. Oh, we're going to take a little break here. We'll be back with Richard Greenman, talking about the Yellow Vest Movement in France. Steve Behrman, WikiPolitiki.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Are you done with the daily barrage of negativity? Ready for some positivity? Creations Magazine has been inspiring the soul for over 30 years, delivering thought-provoking and solution-driven articles, essays, and poetry that inspire you to enjoy a vibrant life. Holistic health, personal and spiritual growth, relationships, the environment, and so much more. Read us online or order a subscription, creationsmagazine.com.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket, a tent, a sandbag, a doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
In the wake of a hurricane, your monetary donation can make a huge difference to those in need. To donate, visit supporthurricanerelief.org. That's supporthurricanerelief.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Behrman, and we're back with our guest Richard Greenman. We're talking about
Hello.
The yellow vest. Hi, are you there, Richard? You're there. Good.
Yeah, but we were interrupted by a whole long broadcast.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, what happened was we had to do the commercials here for our radio show, so that's what that was.
But anyway, yeah, no, but back. After that, there was a whole long thing about healing and so on. All right, let's go back to the interview.
Okay, yeah. So back to the interview where everything is all right. I have a couple of questions. First of all, it seems to me that something about the people in France, where they're a bit more evolved than the people here, is that they already are just so totally disgusted with the electoral system that they very much understand that their representatives don't represent them, and many of them don't vote. Well, we'll talk more about that. But the question I have right now is that the way that this movement has been represented here is that it is a anti-progress, anti-global, anti-globalization, and also anti-immigrant movement. So how, and I understand what you're saying about the them not wanting the political parties to get involved, either the left or the right, or the labor unions, but how do you, since you're really in it, you've met these people, how do you see this anti-immigrant influence, and how is it being addressed, and how much of it is a distortion, and how much of it actually represents some or many of the people in the movement?
Well, okay. Now, in the beginning, there were people that were interviewed that expressed anti-immigrant feelings in the sense that they felt it should be limited, as there are problems exactly like that in the United States. But as the movement grew on and there was more discussion and criticism of that view, it began to disappear. The problem is that the media and the government have always stressed anything right-wing or negative about this group. And they want to speak for themselves. And so they don't want to participate in elections where somebody every 2 years promises you something and then they don't do it. And they are tired of being talked down to by the government that considers them ignorant. Now, for example, you compared them with the U.S. public. But I don't think that there's a big difference. they've expressed, many of these people have expressed their disgust with the system for years by simply not voting. They didn't see anything to vote for. And I would say with the last election that we had, Hillary Clinton was repulsive to most Americans because she and her husband started these wars in the Middle East, put in these crime things where people go to jail for 20 years for the most minor crimes, and all the terrible things, cutting welfare so that poor people with children have no support. I mean, the Clintons were as rotten neoliberal as anybody. So, and then they were crooked too, because when there was somebody, Bernie Sanders, who at least represented a possible hope, they sabotaged his campaign. He never appeared on TV. The TV made made Trump, because he never had to spend a dime on publicity. They thought he was so funny and so great, and now they're stuck with him. So the French people have lived through many, many governments, and France is different. It has a long tradition of revolutions, 5 revolutions. And they have been the most original in political invention in trying to find new forms of democracy, starting back with 1789 with the French Republic. So it's that's, I think, one of the reasons that this is happening in France. But it's not because of intellectuals. The intellectuals, with one or two exceptions, don't want to have anything to do with this yellow vest movement. And the media, these people hate the media so much that they won't talk to them, because what the media do is they interview the people and then they choose the ones that they want to put on the air. And these people want to speak for themselves. So they've been, they boo the media and they threaten them sometimes, because they want to be heard for themselves.
Well,
and
you know,
not
this brings
to
up,
have other
yeah.
people talk for them.
Well, this brings up the same kinds of mistrust of the mainstream New York Times media in this country. Of course, it's not exactly like it is in France, but certainly people are fed up with the whole system. And yet there hasn't been anything like this as a unified movement, particularly where people are actually sending representatives to an independent assembly. So tell us more about that. How did that come about, and what are the developments that are on the horizon in that regard?
Well, there's a small town called Commercy, and the people there were very, very well organized, just ordinary people, and they set up a kind of a shack in the middle of town where people could come in and talk and so on, and they put out leaflets, and they were typical, but certainly the most conscious. And about 2 months ago, they sent out a thing on the internet that said that they thought that all the different groups should come together and talk, and so have an assembly of assemblies. And they set the date for last weekend, and that's exactly what happened. People showed up, and the result was this wonderful platform from which I've been reading. Now, going back to the comparison with the U.S., and also to the question of the internet and Facebook. The most democratic thing that's happened in the United States in the last year is the teachers' revolts starting in West Virginia and then spreading to Arizona and a number of other so-called red states. Of course, that's a joke, because red is the color of the teachers' movement starting in Chicago. And these teachers organized themselves on Facebook and were are able to control their movement so that when the unions, having ignored them, stepped in and signed an agreement, a contract with the government, a right-wing, you know, Trump-eyed government, they were able to say, no, you didn't ask us, we didn't vote on this. And they organized a march on the state capitol and just blew the whole thing away. But meanwhile, the press had published that the strike was over and the unions had signed with the government. Not only did the teachers win their strike, like the recent strike in L.A., the strike was mostly about better conditions for the students, because West Virginia is a very poor state. They've cut back everything for education there. And for years, the teachers have been paying for notebooks and mimeographs and even bringing food and clothes, because some of the students come to school hungry. And this is very frequent in the United States. So what they were able to do is, from below, without being manipulated by parties and unions, organize themselves. And so this can happen in the United States too. And now in France, one of the reasons these people were so mad is that in last spring, Macron introduced a series of what he called reforms, which I call counter-reforms. In other words, taking away all the things that people had won in strikes going back to the 30s and then right after World War II. Remember that France was occupied, and mostly the entire business class collaborated with Nazis. And so when the war was over and the resistance was armed and mostly made up of workers, The two wings of the resistance, the left and the right, had to come together, and they instituted a social republic which gave a lot of good protections for workers, for education, for health, and so on. And that was in 1944 and 45. And bit by bit, they've been chipping away at that. But the so-called French exception, where here we have five-week vacations and many other things that are unknown in other countries, that was stuck in the craw of the business class here. And Macron is the absolute perfect expression of the business class. He's young. He came out of the School of Administration. He worked for the Rothschild Bank. He was then Minister of Education under a so-called socialist government, which was no less neoliberal and pro-business than the other governments. And then when the political system fell apart, he made himself candidate and got himself in really as a minority. He started out with 18%, but in the runoff election with the fascist Le Pen, it was the choice between this guy and Le Pen. And he decided, Macron, that he was going to bring France into the modern world that Thatcher and Reagan did in the 1980s. So he introduced all the kinds of things, and he pushed them through, not as laws that had to be voted on, but as decrees. And the unions did not fight him. They went on strikes, but they were strikes that were manipulated by the union leadership, including the CGT, which is the Communist Union, because they wanted to keep their relationship with the government that puts them in the privileged position of official representatives of labor. So they're part of the governing class, the political class. And so, for example, on the railroad, they made it a what they call here a grève perlée, a stop-and-go strike. Okay, well, that can be effective, except that they told the management in advance what trains they were going to stop. And so it cut down the number of trains by about a fifth. And then they agreed that management personnel could drive the trains. And then they dragged the strike out for 4 months, during which the train drivers, the engine drivers, were not getting paid. They were on strike. The railroad was running. They were selling tickets. And so that's what the CGT called a strike. And everybody was so disappointed, knowing they expected a real fight between the government and business on the one hand and labor on the other. And that didn't happen because the labor leaders begged to get in and be negotiated with, and they finally did and sold the whole thing out. So the anger that's been building up here for years was simmering and had no expression. And so it had just exploded in this remarkable, self-organized, horizontal movement that has sworn never to be manipulated by a political party, by a leader, by a union, or by the government.
It's very evolutionary. This is the evolution of revolution. In this country, there's not quite the understanding of that. And a further complexifying issue is that instead of, you know, Macron is much more like Hillary. So had Hillary become president, she would be the Macron now that we would perhaps left and right would be focusing on. But instead, we have the distraction of Donald Trump. So how do you see that? How do you see the...
Well, I just beg to differ with you on one point. I think American normal working people are very smart people. They have been barraged, like the French people, with media. Well, it can be argued that the media put Trump in power. Well, Hillary was going to, you know, $100,000 dinners to raise money for publicity. Trump was all over the television. So, brainwashing people from above doesn't mean that the people are foolish. And as I was trying to show, the movement of the teachers proves that people think for themselves. And the group of people that make up the yellow vests in France are looked down on as nobodies by the entire political class. That is to say, the media. They're talked down to, they're called lazy and uneducated. And Macron is hated because he's got this school teacher, I shouldn't say school teacher, he talks down to people in a way that is humiliating. He makes them feel stupid and worthless. And of course, he lies. He's really only got two things going for him: his lies, which are repeated by the media, and violence. I just mentioned this at the beginning, but you have no idea the amount of violence that the government is throwing at these mostly peaceful people. Now, it's true that at demonstrations, there's always a kind of a black bloc element of people that wear black masks and go in and break bank windows or store windows and so on. But they represent a very, very small minority, and they are, in fact, parasites on this movement, which is, as I say, the average age is 40, and the average number of kids is 2.5. Absolutely the basic French people.
And Richard, we're going to be back after this short message, commercial messages,
okay,
part of the show. We'll be back with you in a minute or two, and we're going to talk more about this amazing movement. Steve Behrman, Wiki Politiki. We're talking with Richard Greenman about the Yellow Vest Movement.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
The Shift Network, presenting transformative programs and events to help you awaken to your full potential so that together we can build the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible. Our classes support you in finding and cultivating your gifts and in bringing those gifts to the world to create tangible change and connect us as global citizens. Go to theshiftnetwork.com or follow the link on the Wiki Politiki sponsors page.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, Steve Behrman back for the final segment with Richard Greenman talking about the Yellow Vest movement in France. So many questions here. But let me, and I'm sorry we didn't really get to much of your own background. I forgot that when you were at Yale, that's when Phil Proctor and Peter Bergman began their collaboration that later became the Firesign Theater. So,
you're one of
that crowd. Phil is a friend and colleague of mine. I've interviewed him for this show. But let's get back to something I think that's very, very important, and that is the violence that has been perpetrated by the government onto these people, just like in this country. I mean, in the, we've had those at Standing Rock and all of these other places where people have stood up to these powerful forces, and they've been brutalized. Tell us about the weapons being used, the injuries, fatalities, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. The weapons that they've been using is mostly CN gas, which was outlawed as poison gas in 1925 and by international law, and what they call flash balls, which is a big fat rubber ball that it's about the size of a golf ball, and it's accurate at maybe 50 yards at the most, but it's powered by it's shot out of a gun, and if it hits you in the face, and they've been aiming at faces, it can just knock your jaw off. So there have been there have been 10 or 11 people killed. The first one that I heard of was an old lady of 80 who happened to be Arab and lived in Marseille, and she was on her balcony trying to close her shutters because the police were down in the street below, and this couldn't have been an accident. They shot her in the face, and she died in the hospital. and this is many other people has this has happened to. France is listed among the European powers that has the most militarized police force. And what is different here in France is that the police are national. That is to say that the orders are given directly from the president or the minister of the interior, who obviously has to have the approval of the president. So as a distinct from 1968, when I was young, there was, yes, a lot of clashes between students and workers on the one hand and the police, but they were confined to throwing rocks and hitting, and the police hitting them with truncheons and so on. This is a real escalation of violence, and it's always unprovoked. In fact, it started in the spring when there was a group that had occupied an area that they wanted to build an airport unnecessary on out in the country. And they built, these people installed themselves and they created farms and they did all kinds of things until finally the government had to give in and cancel the airport. Whereupon these people wanted to continue their life experiments, and Macron sent in bulldozers and gas and these weapons and just drove them off. And that was the end of it. And as far as the violence perpetrated by non-government sources, there are two types of people with black masks. Half of them are young anarchists and other crazies. And the other half, or let's just put it this way, I don't consider themselves anarchists since I'm an anarchist. I think that this whole movement is based on principles of anarchism, that is to say, no bosses. But what I mean is the type of young people who justifiably are so violently angry that they use these demonstrations as a way to blow off their steam. But half of these people are government agents, and we've seen them on videos that people have taken. They come in dressed like these young black bloc people. They go and do their dirty work, and then they're filtered back through the police lines, and you can see them sitting. There's one wonderful shot of them sitting in the back of a police van, smoking, getting ready to be taken to some other place and do the same thing again. So there's a lot of fraud that's trying to blame the violence on the demonstrators. And in fact, the demonstrators have been hurt. At least 1,000 have been injured. And if you see the photographs, they're awful, because it's obvious that these police have received the order or the permission or the wink of an eye that they're allowed to shoot people in the head with these flashballs.
There shouldn't be that much surprise there in that this is how empires have acted, no matter what they say, no matter what kind words they use, and propaganda. I've got two more questions. We have really just another 7 or 8 minutes, but the two questions are, first of all, how is this movement now developing? This is a developing story. We're at the first week of February now. What are the next steps for this movement, and where do you imagine it might go?
Well, next Tuesday is scheduled a general strike that was called by the unions, the CGT, because they've been outpaced. First of all, the Yellow Vests have won some small victories, and the unions didn't during a whole spring of strikes that were ineffective. So the unions are really facing competitions, plus very many union members and new regular union workers are part of the Yellow Vests. It's, as I say, a cross-section. So the unions called one of their typical one-day strikes, which is just a symbolic one, especially since workers here get strike pay if they announce they get unemployment if they announce a strike in advance, whereas many of the Yellow Vests are self-employed, or work in offices where they can't do that. So they're holding it on a Tuesday, not on a Saturday, which is the day the yellow vests demonstrate, because they can't afford to take a day off. But the yellow vests accepted the challenge, only they said it's got to be an open-ended strike. If we're going to have a general strike, let's shut the country down and make them recognize us. And this is absolutely revolutionary, and I don't know what's going to happen next Tuesday, but I'm going to be out there, not in the front lines, because I can't run anymore. So that's a possible future. Now, I just want to say one thing to finish this discussion.
Yeah.
The word populism is misused. It was originally a party in the United States in the 1860s and 70s of poor farmers. And it got taken over by the Democratic Party, and one end of it became racist. And so it got a bad name. But in fact, the populism was at the origin of the American Union movement and the socialists that became prominent in the 1890s and the very depths that my grandfather supported. So this is a kind of neo-populism, right-wing populism, which is really no different than the Mussolinis and the Hitlers and all the rest of them. And that's what Trump represents. And that's what the government of Hungary and of Poland and now in Brazil. These are governments that are run by proto-dictators. And they're pyramidal, top-down movements that support the interests of the rich when things aren't going well and they need more force to keep people from revolting. Now, the yellow vest is completely horizontal. There are people who get together on Facebook and get together on roundabouts and parking lots and then get together in assemblies where everybody gets to talk and you only get to talk for 3 minutes. Where women and everybody are welcome. So it's an absolute mistake and, in fact, a new form of propaganda to use the word populism to describe popular movements.
Huh, exactly. It's very interesting that in this country we have such a tremendous opportunity, and yet it's the dysfunctional function of the media, as in France, to make sure that the two sides never have a conversation to find out what we really have in common. And so it really seems like this is something for us to watch from this country.
Absolutely.
As we navigate this next period of time. And here, unlike France, you've had your, it's been resolved to a certain extent in terms of the parties and so on. But here, so much of our focused attention and energy has been diverted into the anti-Trump movement. And Trump, as you said very clearly, is part of this rich people, top down, using the language of populism and stirring up nationalist fervor to make sure that segment of the populace
right.
is kept under control. Here you
and
have
exactly.
a bottom-up
and these
movement.
Yellow vests are, although they sing the Marseillaise, which is the French national anthem, they remember that it was originally a revolutionary song in 1790. But they want to get France out of the European Union because the European Union, France, voted down in 2005 when we had a referendum. So they went ahead, and 2 years later, behind the scenes, they brought France into this European treaty. But the European treaty is a pro-bank treaty. It says that no country can spend more than 3%, can go into debt more than 3%. Now, what France needs is the same as the United States, more schools, more hospitals, more help for the elderly, all of these things that cost money. And the solution to them is New Deal type things where you get the unemployed back on the streets. But that requires deficit spending. And deficit spending is outlawed by the European Union. Mm. So that is why these yellow vests are not are more internationalist. And hopefully, with similar movements taking place in Holland and in Belgium and in various other countries, maybe this will spread, because clearly it has to spread if it's going to win. Because in a small country like France, although they managed finally for the last 50 years to have a more progressive social policy, but if it is really to spread, that would mean that we are taking steps to a much better world. Because clearly the whole world needs to be democratized, and the whole world needs to be more egalitarian. What they say in this document is that 19 people own more than half the people in the world, the 19 richest people in the world.
Wow. Well, we're at the end of our time today with Richard Greenman talking about Yellow Vest Movement, which hopefully can be an inspiration and catch on worldwide. I want to thank you so much, Richard, joining us from Montpellier, France, today on Wiki Politiki. This is Steve Behrman, and we'll be with you again next week.
Take care, Steve.